Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Thursday, January 12, 2017. A love fest. That's what was going on in the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing in Washington, D.C. today. The hearing into Donald Trump's pick for Defense Secretary, 66-year-old Marine retired General James Mattis, nicknamed Mad Dog Mattis. He enlisted in the Marines back in 1969. He was engaged in the Persian Gulf War as part of Operation Desert Shield in the planning stages of the Afghanistan War in 2001, and he led the 1st Marine Division in the final stages of the Iraq War. In 2005, he said the Taliban were fun to shoot. President Obama appointed Mattis to replace General Stanley McChrystal in 2010 as head of CENTCOM, Central Command. That's where he served until 2013. His last responsibility was of military operations in the Middle East, Northeast Africa, and Central Asia. And today, the Senate Armed Services Committee overwhelmingly passed special legislation to allow the retired general to run the Pentagon. This overrides a prohibition against former U.S. service members out of the military for less than 7 years holding that position. John McCain is chair of the Armed Services Committee. He paints disorder, regional breakdowns, new assertiveness in China, danger posed by ballistic tests in North Korea, and then he goes on the attack against Russia.
Each of our last three presidents has had great expectations of building a partnership with the Russian government. Each attempt has failed, not for lack of good faith and effort on the U.S. side, but because of a stubborn fact that we must finally recognize Putin wants to be our enemy. He needs us as his enemy. He will never be our partner, including in fighting ISIL. He believes that strengthening Russia means weakening America.
Warmongering continues as Mattis says what should be done about Russia.
The most important thing is that we recognize the reality of what we deal with Mr. Putin. And we recognize that he is trying to break the North Atlantic Alliance, and that we take the steps, the integrated steps, diplomatic, economic, military, and the alliance steps, the working with our allies to defend ourselves where we must.
Then McCain asks if the world order is under more strain than it has ever been.
I think it's under the biggest attack since World War II, sir, and that's from Russia, from terrorist groups, and with what China is doing in the South China Sea.
And that would argue for us making sure we're adequately prepared to meet these challenges.
I think deterrence is critical right now, sir. Absolutely, and that requires the strongest military.
Do you think we have a strong enough military today in order to achieve that goal?
No, sir.
And there were questions about the president-elect's temperament, his use of Twitter in conducting foreign policy. And then Lindsey Graham, Republican senator from South Carolina, grills Mattis on the Israel-Palestinian question.
Do you support a two-state solution?
I do. If that brings peace to the Middle East, I'm eager to see it work. If there's another solution, I'd be happy to hear what it is.
Absolutely. Who's in charge of the Palestinian community?
That's a good question, sir. I think there's a number of people who think they are.
It'd be hard to have a two-state solution if one of the parties really doesn't have anybody in charge.
There's nothing easy about the two-state solution.
Do you think Hamas is a terrorist organization?
I do, sir.
Do you think they would abide by any agreement that the Palestinian Authority negotiated with Israel, given the state of affairs as we know today?
Only if forced to.
Okay. I'd like to know how we would force them, but let's move on. North Korea. Did Trump tweet a red line when he said, not going to happen?
I'm not going to characterize the president-elect, sir. I would just tell you that the seriousness
that
he takes.
How would you characterize
that tweet? Pardon,
sir? How would you characterize what he said? He commented on their ICBM ambitions, and he says, not going to happen. So, to me, I hope it's a red line. I mean, I'm not arguing with him. I'm not so sure I've done it that way. But do you think we should have a red line when it comes to the ICBM program in North Korea?
Sir, it's a serious threat, and I believe that we've got to do something about it. And I think,
do you believe it's in our national security interest to make sure that North Korea never develops a missile that could hit the American homeland with a nuclear weapon on top of it?
Yes, Senator, I do.
Do you believe that necessary force should be on the table?
I don't think we should take anything off the table, sir.
Okay. When it comes to Iran, you said in terms of the agreement we have, we gave our word. Is that what you said?
We did, yes, sir.
I think President-elect Trump gave his word to the American people, I'm going to change this deal because it's terrible. Do you expect him to keep his word?
Sir, once the national security team is confirmed, once confirmed by the Senate, I'll work with the other members.
Do you think it's a terrible deal?
The best possible situation we can make for America in this
Do you think it's a terrible deal?
It's not a deal I would have signed, sir.
How would you make it better?
Sir, the first thing is I would ask the Congress to have a joint committee from banking, armed services, and intel to oversee the implementation of the deal, and should there be any abrogation of it, should there be any cheating, then the Congress would be kept informed on a routine basis of what's going on so that you know what's happening. At the same time, we're going to have to make certain that our intelligence services are fully staffed to watch over them. And that involves working with our allied intelligence services that have unique capabilities to work inside the country. Further, we'd put together a combined missile defense, air and missile defense capability for our Gulf allies so that they can work together with us. And every time we catch Iran up to some kind of terrorist activity, we would take that to the United Nations and display it for the world to see.
Well, thank you very much. Do you believe Iran's behavior outside their nuclear program has been destabilizing in the Mideast?
Absolutely.
General James Mattis with Senator Lindsey Graham at the confirmation hearing for Donald Trump's Secretary of Defense appointment. Mattis says he wants to work with the Committee on Ratcheting Up Cybersecurity, that clear boundaries are needed in the cyber world so potential adversaries know what America won't tolerate. And the Trump's transition team announced a new appointment. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who is head of an international security consulting firm, will now head up Donald Trump's cybersecurity task force. Its aim is to improve the nation's defenses against cyber threats.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
Malvina Reynolds with Little Boxes from 1962. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Housing and Urban Development didn't live in public housing, but he was asked about it at a hearing today into his qualifications. The former neurosurgeon was unable to confirm that as housing secretary, no money from his department would benefit President-elect Trump or his family. Senator Elizabeth Warren begins with a question of conflict of interest.
My concern is whether or not among the billions of dollars that you will be responsible for handing out in grants and loans, can you just assure us that not one dollar will go to benefit either the president-elect or his family?
It will not be my intention to do anything to benefit any American.
I understand that.
It's for all Americans,
but
everything that we do.
Do I take that to mean that you may manage programs that benefit the president-elect?
You can take it to mean that I will manage things in a way that benefits the American people. That is going to be the goal.
You understand that.
If there happens to be an extraordinarily good program that's working for millions of people, and it turns out that someone that you're targeting is going to gain, you know, $10 from it, am I going to say, no, the rest of you Americans can't have it? I think logic and common sense probably would be the best way.
Yeah, although we do have a problem here, and I appreciate your good faith in this, and I do, Dr. Carson. The problem is that you can't assure us that HUD money, not of $10 varieties, but of multi-million dollar varieties, will not end up in the president-elect's pockets. And the reason you can't assure us of that is because the president-elect is hiding his family's business interests from you, from me, from the rest of America. And this just highlights the absurdity and the danger of the president-elect's refusal to put his assets in a true blind trust. He knows, he, the president-elect, knows what will benefit him and his family financially, but the public doesn't, which means he can divert taxpayer money into his own pockets without anyone knowing about it. The only way that the American people can know that the president is working in their best interests and not in his own is if he divests and puts his assets in a true blind trust. Transferring his holdings to his children does nothing, as the head of the nonpartisan ethics committee said just last night. Since the president-elect refuses to address this voluntarily, we need to pass the Presidential Conflicts of Interest Act that I introduced with more than 20 of my colleagues, which would require him to do so. So, with the time I have left, I just want to follow up very quickly on a letter that I sent to you earlier this week and that we talked about in my office.
And I appreciated that.
Good. And I appreciated it, too. As you know, more than 7 million children rely on HUD for housing. 7 million people, many of them are children, veterans, people with disabilities. For many of these people, HUD is the difference between a stable home and life out on the streets. But one major problem that we talked about is lead exposure. And according to the most recent HUD study, 62,000 public housing units, nearly 6% of our total public housing stock, are in need of lead abatement. You are a highly accomplished doctor. We spoke at length about the implications of lead and lead poisoning on our children. Can I just ask you to commit today that you will make sure that HUD resources are dedicated to dramatically reducing the number of public housing units where lead is a problem?
Well, I can assure you that I will very much be working with you on that. 310,000 cases right now of children, each of which cost us enormous amounts of money. I don't think people even calculate that into that when we're talking about it. So, yes, I will be very vigorous in that area.
I very much appreciate it. This is a particular problem for us in the Northeast. It is a particular problem in Boston where our housing stock is old.
Right.
And it is absolutely critical that we get the lead out of these housing units and that our children have a chance to grow up without being injured by our own negligence. I look forward to working with you.
Thank you for your leadership in that
area. Thank you, Dr. Carson.
Senator Elizabeth Warren with Ben Carson at the hearing for his confirmation as HUD Secretary. Today, the U.S. Senate passed a resolution which begins to repeal the Affordable Care Act. All that was needed was a simple majority. Here's what today's vote sounded like as Senator Jeff Sessions was to cast the 51st vote to begin the repeal process, with 15 Democrats so far voting against.
Mr. Donnelly, no. Mr. Sessions, aye. Ms. Klobuchar.
The senator is not recorded.
Because there is no plan in the alternative, I vote no.
It will be in order.
Ms. Klobuchar, no.
Madam Clerk.
Ms. Baldwin.
How am I recorded?
The senator is not recorded.
I vote no because the people of
debate
Wisconsin
is not allowed
did not
during
send
a vote.
Me
the
here
Senate
to
will
take
be in
away
order.
Their health
debate
care.
Is not allowed during a vote.
Ms. Baldwin, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Merkley.
How am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
Madam Clerk, because repeal
debate
and
is not allowed during a
will
vote,
hurt
the Senate will be
hundreds
in order.
Of
the Senate will be in order.
Oregonians.
Debate is not allowed during
I
a vote.
I vote no.
The Senate will be in order.
Mr. Merkley, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Coons.
How am I recorded?
The senator is not recorded.
On behalf of 50,000 Delaware
debate is not allowed during a vote. The Senate will be in order.
Repeal without
the
replace.
Senate will be in
I
order.
Vote no.
Debate is not allowed during a vote.
Mr. Coons, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Tester.
How am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the 69 hospitals in Montana,
debate is not allowed during vote.
No.
Senate will be in order.
Mr. Tester, no.
Madam Clerk,
Ms.
how am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the 1.2 million
debate
Illinoisans
is not allowed
who will
vote.
Lose
Senate will be in order.
Health insurance with
debate
this issue of
the
ACA,
not allowed. The Senate will be in
and
order.
For all those with pre-existing conditions, I stand on prosthetic legs
vote.
To vote no.
Senate will be in order.
Ms.
Madam
Duckworth,
Clerk?
No. Mr. Casey?
How am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
I vote no on behalf of the children of Pennsylvania.
Mr. Casey, no.
Madam Clerk.
Ms. Cortez Masto.
How am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the thousands of Nevadans who will lose health care, I vote
debate
no.
Debate is not allowed during the vote.
Ms. Cortez Masto, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Schatz.
How am I recorded?
No. Senator is not recorded.
I vote no on behalf of people who need mental health
debate
care.
Is not allowed during the vote.
Mr. Schatz, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mrs. Gillibrand.
How am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
I vote no on behalf of all the women who need health
care. Senator is not, debate is not allowed during the vote.
Mrs. Gillibrand, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Murphy.
How am I recorded?
The Senator is not recorded.
This is cruel and inhuman.
The Senate will be in order. Debate is not allowed.
I vote
during
no.
Vote. Senate will be in order.
Mr. Murphy, no.
Madam Clerk, how am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the thousands of New Hampshire residents
debate
who are suffering from addiction who will lose treatment, I vote
debate
no.
Debate is not allowed during a vote.
Ms. Hassan,
Madam
no.
Clerk.
Ms. Hirono.
How am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the 200,000 seniors
debate
in
is not allowed
Medicare,
during the vote.
I vote no.
Senate will be in order.
Ms. Hirono, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Warner.
How am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
On behalf of the children of the Commonwealth of Virginia, I vote no.
Mr. Warner, no.
Madam Clerk.
Mr. Blumenthal.
Madam Clerk, how am I recorded?
Senator is not recorded.
Madam Clerk, on behalf of all the people who
debate is not allowed during the vote
tonight, and all who will be
Senate will be in order. Senate will be in order.
Of Connecticut, I vote.
Debate is not allowed during a vote.
Madam Clerk,
Mr. Blumenthal,
what was approved
no.
Was a budget
Mr.
which
Wyatt.
Eases the way
because
for action on subsequent repeal legislation
well,
as soon as
order.
Next month. And
while
Donald Trump at his news conference on Wednesday expressed
Mr.
confidence
Wyatt.
That a replacement for
no.
The Affordable Care
Madam
Act
Clerk.
Would be in place simultaneously, that is almost impossible when you consider the complicated web of Congress with Republicans not even close to an agreement on what any replacement for the Affordable Care Act would look like. The 2010 law extended health insurance to some 20 million Americans. It prevented insurers from denying coverage for pre-existing conditions, and it steered billions of dollars to states for the Medicaid health program for the poor. In the House, many members want to see what a new replacement plan looks like before they vote for a repeal bill. For New Jersey Representative Tom MacArthur, a centrist leader in the House, too little information is available. He said, "We're loading a gun here. I want to know where it's pointed before we start the process."
Republican proposal that we'll be voting on talks about, quote, returning regulation of insurance to state governments. Okay, sounds good. Well, what does that mean in the real world?
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders explaining some of the pitfalls in repealing the Affordable Care Act on the Senate floor earlier today.
That means that you could be denied coverage for a pre-existing condition. The Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, and I just met a woman last night. She is dying of breast cancer. That's her reality. But she was able to get health insurance despite having a very severe situation because we abolished the insurance company's ability to say no to her and to millions of other people who have pre-existing conditions. So when you want to return regulation of insurance to state governments, that is precisely what they can do. The law is gone. The insurance companies can say, "You have cancer, we are not going to cover you because you're going to cost us too much money and we can't make any money from you." Insurance companies can refuse to cover needed things like maternity care, prescription drugs, or high-cost diseases like HIV and many, many others. That is what they mean when they talk about returning these programs, returning regulation of insurance to state governments.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders speaking against the repeal of Obamacare. And the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing into the confirmation of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions as U.S. Attorney General continued today. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal questioned Sessions on voting rights. That's where closure of the Department of Motor Vehicle Departments in communities of color impacted about 250,000 without the ID to vote, Senator Jeff Sessions.
There is a system, I understand, that makes those IDs available. The driver's license offices were part of a budget-cutting process within the state, which I had absolutely nothing to do with and did not advise and know about until it was done. And they claimed that they were simply identifying the areas with the lowest population and trying to do some consolidation and trying to make the system more efficient and productive. It was later these objections arose, and they have reversed that, I believe. That's the way that went, I hope, and think there was no intent at the time to do an racially insensitive, but indeed many of the closures were in counties with large African-American populations.
Did you believe then that there was a problem in denying 250,000 people an access to education? They needed to vote?
Well, it didn't deny 250,000 people the right to vote. That would be utterly wrong and should be stopped immediately. It just simply, maybe the closest driver's license office would be in the next county, and it would be closer for you to go to that one than the one that was closed. But it was, in general, perceived as detrimental to African Americans, and included within that detriment was the possibility of an ID for voting. So you are correct. It was controversial, and it was fixed.
Did you agree with the Department of Investigation finding that it had an adverse and disparate impact on people on the basis of race?
Well, I've never expressed an opinion upon it, and I never studied that issue in depth, but apparently somebody must have agreed because it was changed.
Did you agree with that conclusion?
Well, yes, I was happy that solution was reached, yes, very much.
Did you take any
action? No need to have, we should remember those things as we move forward setting policy. What kind of ramifications could it have? I don't think they had voting in their mind at all, but it did impact voting to some degree, for sure.
But you took no action at the time. You expressed no conclusion at the time, despite what was found to be a disparate and adverse impact on the voting rights of 250,000 members of the citizens of your state.
Well, they didn't ask my opinion before they did it, and it was purely a state matter, and I did not actively intervene. You're correct.
Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions being questioned by Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal at the hearing today into the nomination of Sessions as U.S. Attorney General. New York Senator Chuck Schumer says he will oppose the nomination of Jeff Sessions, that he has no confidence that Sessions has the ability to defend the rights of all Americans. Schumer is the new Senate Minority Leader. He says he doubts that Sessions can be an independent check on the incoming Trump administration, that he's deeply concerned about Sessions' views on immigration. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, January 12th, 2017. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York. Thanks for listening. We're going out with Demagogue by Franz Ferdinand. He's a Democrat.